Welcome back to Two Sisters and a TV, the classic TV podcast, where we remember and celebrate all things and everything classic TV. Today, we're going to take a look at The Brady Bunch, one of the most beloved and most unforgettable and a really huge piece of pop culture history. It's become a phenomenon over the years. And we did an episode, of course, about the Brady Bride several weeks back, but we wanted to go ahead and do an episode about the original show, which started it all. We also looked at doing an episode about the variety show from the 70s and then the Bradys back in 1990, which we'll probably do those as well. But first, it's time to pay homage to the original series from whence it all came from. Now, the Brady Bunch ran for 5 seasons on ABC, 117 episodes. It made its debut in syndication in September of 1975 and has not been off of the air since. Literally, somewhere, every day of the week, the Brady Bunch is being shown somewhere. Now, if you have the Paramount Plus app like I do, you can watch the Brady Bunch anytime. And also, it comes on MeTV Sunday mornings from noon to 1 o'clock, 2 episodes back-to-back, right before Leave It to Beaver. The entire series is available on DVD as well as Blu-ray. There are all kinds of books about the Brady Bunch that have been written, and there have been various specials. There have been 2 theatrical movies released in the 90s, and like we said, a couple of spinoffs. And it's, like I said, it's one of the most beloved TV shows in TV history. I mean, other TV shows have mentioned the Brady Bunch, like The Facts of Life and Good Times, What's Happening. It's just one of those TV shows that you just enjoy watching. I mean, you know, you really kind of wish that you had a family. Not everyone feels this way, of course, but this is how we've always felt, you know, off and on. How would it have been to have had 4 extra brothers and sisters? We've always wondered that off and on through the years. How would it be if it were 6 of us? And, you know, it just, they have a lot of experiences, a lot of, you know, adventures on the show. And, of course, in real life, they became singing stars. They were releasing albums, going on tour, opening for the Jackson 5. And so it was a very unforgettable ride for the actors who were part of this show. But how did the Brady Bunch come into fruition? How did it all get started? Well, it all came from Sherwood Schwartz, who already had produced and created Gilligan's Island. Now, according to the research that we both did, we looked at an article titled The History of the Brady Bunch, written by Wendy Winans. And this article really helped a lot, along with their own personal memories and experiences of having watched this show for so many years. The idea started in the 60s. When Sherwood read an article in a magazine that somewhere between 20 to 30% of all families had at least one child from a previous marriage. So he thought that would be a really good idea for a TV show. So he wrote a pilot and he decided to do an pilot episode about a blended family, a man who had 3 boys, a lady who had 3 girls, and how they all ended up going on their honeymoon together. So he decided after getting this pilot together, he would shop it around to the 3 networks. And the networks thought that the idea had some promise to it, but they did want to make some changes. NBC, for instance, thought that the parents should not bring all of the kids with them on the honeymoon, that was unrealistic. Meanwhile, ABC wanted to turn it into a movie. Sherwood didn't go along with any of the ideas that they were presenting. He wanted to stick to his original vision, and so he decided to, you know, stand by that. So since no one would cooperate with this, the way that it was originally written, he just decided to shelve the project. Well, by 1968, all of a sudden, you had 2 really popular movies, theatrical movies about blended families. With 6 You Get Egg Rolls, starring Doris Day and Brian Keith, and Yours, Mine, and Ours, starring Henry Fonda and Lucille Ball. Yours, Mine, and Ours is one of the biggest movies of the entire year in 1968. I think it was like the 13th most popular movie in theaters. And so all of a sudden the networks began to kind of, you know, ABC in particular, began to kind of realize, well, hey, you know, this Sherwood guy, he might be onto something. So they reached out to him and they decided to go ahead and they would film a pilot, you know, get the pilot, you know, filmed and cast and all of that. And so they wanted to go ahead and give this idea of his, go ahead and give it a go. So they cast the kids first. They cast the three little girl, golden-haired girls and the three dark-haired boys first. Of course, you had Marcia, the eldest daughter, portrayed by Maureen McCormick. Jan, the middle daughter, portrayed by Eve Plum. And the little baby daughter, Cindy, with her cute little curls, portrayed by Susan Olsen. And according to Sherwood Schwartz, Susan Olsen just stole his heart from the very moment that he first saw her, which I totally get that because she was absolutely adorable in the first season. Absolutely just so precious. For the three boys, you had Barry Williams, the eldest son, Greg. The middle boy, Peter, portrayed by Christopher Knight. And the youngest son, Bobby, portrayed by Mike Lookinland. Now, the thing about Mike Lookinland is that he was actually a blonde. So he had to, you know, ask his, you know, he got his parents' consent. Like, hey, you know, we really want to hire your son, but would it be okay with you if we would dye his hair dark for the show? Which, of course, they agreed to. In some episodes, Bobby's hair is like really, really dark. It's like downright black. And other times, you know, it is the regular brown, you know, like Greg and Peter. But so the kids were cast first. And then as for the parents, originally he wanted Joyce Boulafont. Joyce Boulafont, a lot of you remember, she was Murray's wife on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Marie. She was also a fixture on Match Game a lot in the 70s. However, some kind of way, Florence Henderson, he thought that she would be an even better actress for the part of Carol. Carol Brady, and so she got the part. And then they decided, well, they needed to have a housekeeper. I mean, how can you have all these kids? And they just wanted some extra, you know, blood around, extra comedy to be in the middle of the show. And so they decided to hire a housekeeper. Well, Ambie Davis got that part. Ambie Davis, of course, had been a part of the TV show Love That Bob, or the Bob Cummings show back in the 50s. She was Schultzy, his assistant. And she was absolutely in love with Bob. And she won two Emmys for her role as Schultzy on that show. So she came on board as the housekeeper, Alice. Now, Alice had been living with Mike Brady and the three boys. She'd been working with them, you know, since, you know, their wife and mother passed away. And so, you know, she'd been with them for quite a while. And so Alice just, you know, came along when the, you know, Mike and Carol got married. So she too, you know, would be part of the household. And as for the character of Mike Brady, well, originally Sherwood Schwartz wanted Gene Hackman for the part. Gene Hackman had been in Bonnie and Clyde, but he was still really unknown. He had not done any television. And so that's why the ABC was kind of like, well, we kind of want someone who's a little more familiar to people. So Robert Reed ended up trying out for the part. He didn't think that it was going to go anywhere. So he tried out for it, got it. And but he had been, you know, on The Defenders for 5 years on CBS. And so he was very familiar, you know, in television. And so he was a familiar face. And so he was cast as the dad, Mike Brady. So there's your cast for the Brady Bunch. The pilot was filmed in October of 1968. And then it was kind of just put aside. You know, I'm not sure why that was. But like I said, Robert Reed didn't think this was going to go anywhere anyway, so he really didn't care. All of a sudden, somewhere in 1969, he got a phone call, as well as everybody else did, saying that ABC had picked up the show. It would be debuting on the fall schedule. And let's go ahead and get ready to come in to work. So they all, like I said, assembled back together, and they began to film the TV series. It's first episode would be airing on September the 26th, 1969. And the funny thing with the Brady Bunch, as popular as it has been in reruns and syndication, it was never a top 30 show in the 5 years it was on CBS. The highest rating that it got was number 31 in the third season. That's the highest that it ever got. But people liked it, especially kids, and that's why ABC kept it on. The ratings were steady. It was on Friday nights on ABC, leading off that night's lineup. And so they decided to keep it around because, like I said, it was popular amongst the kids in particular. But like I said, the storylines of the Brady Bunch, like I said, in the beginning, as you know, in the first season, they did act like a blended family. I mean, at one point, Bobby was going to run away because he felt that Carol, you know, didn't love him, and he was afraid of, you know, he thought that she was going to be like in Cinderella, the wicked stepmother. And so she said that she would run away with him. Very, very sweet scene between the two of them. So you saw a lot of that, like I said, taking place in the first season. But by the second season, pretty much any references to them being a blended family were pretty much out the window. I mean, if you didn't watch this show from the beginning and from the first season, you wouldn't even know that they were a blended family. Because, I mean, they all acted like they were together, you know, from the very beginning. Which, you know, I like that in a way, the fact that they, you know, blended so well. And they, you know, in the beginning, the kids fought a lot. The girls and the boys, they fought a lot. And that kind of got old. And so, in my opinion, anyway. And so it was really, like I said, a good idea that they went ahead, like I said, and resolved a lot of those arguments and differences that they were having. And they just all became brothers and sisters. And that they accepted, you know, Mike and Carol as their mom and dad. And everything, like I said, was just really peaches and cream and hunky-dory. The Brady Bunch definitely, like, had a lot of things about it that were kind of unreal. But, like I said, they were the kind of family that a lot of people definitely wish that they had for themselves in real life. A lot of people longed and still do for a family like the Brady's. A big, close, happy family. Didn't have a lot of serious problems. The problems that they did have were resolved before the episodes were over. They had no financial problems. They lived in a big, nice house. Although they didn't have a toilet. That's one thing that was very unique about the Brady Bunch. You never saw a toilet. And why was that? Well, we found out that the network censors wouldn't allow one to be seen. They thought that the presence of a toilet was obscene. And so that's why you never saw one. But like I said, the Brady Bunch has always been a really fun show to watch. I mean, it has, you know, like I said, been such of a very popular show, particularly in syndication. I mean, most everyone has seen it. And we all know the theme song. And like I said, we all know, like, so the characters. And they've all become like family to us, really. They've all become the family that we not only wish that we had, but the family that, you know, we know so much about. You know, and the episodes, I mean, who could forget, you know, when Marcia got her nose hit with that football in season 4. You know, oh, my nose. You know, Peter and Bobby are out playing football and she steps out and wham, right in the nose. And then, of course, there's also the episode when Jan is tired of being in Marcia's shadow. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. And then, of course, there's the times when the kids would sing, you know, they would, you know, do their singing on the show. Of course, there also, like I said, was the episode when Alice left the Brady's because she was known as being a snitch. And so she left and her friend Kay came and became the new housekeeper. And of course, there's also the episode when Marcia and Greg had a bet about who were the better driver, who drove the bus, men or women, boys or girls. And remember, they had the egg on top of the cone and all that. Then there was a time they went to the Grand Canyon. There was a time they went to Hawaii. There was a time that they all went to the amusement park. So the episodes, like I said, were very simplistic, but they were fun. You know, they were enjoyable. The only one who was really not having a good time on that show was Robert Reed, Mike Brady himself. Bob Reed definitely had a lot of issues with the writing of the show. He was not at all pleased with how Sherwood Schwartz and his son Lloyd and everyone else, you know, how they were writing the show, because he was under the impression from the very beginning that this show is going to have serious storylines about two families coming together and, you know, blending together. And how was that really going to be? Serious storylines is what he thought that the show was going to be about. And of course, Sherwood was like, oh yeah, sure. You know, hey, Bob, when we get more, you know, further down the line, we can look into that, you know, then. But they saw a formula that was working and they didn't want to change it. They didn't want to deviate from it. So Bob Reed would complain endlessly during the 5 years of the run of the show. He would write memos to Sherwood and he would write long letters and they'd have big arguments and they would disagree about even the most trivial of things. I mean, he would complain about, you remember the episode when, what was it? They were cooking, what was it? Carol and Alice were cooking, what was it, strawberry jam, I think. And Robert Reed had this big complaint about the way that strawberry jam, I don't remember the details. I forgot to write it down. But, and I just thought of this off the top of my head right now anyway. But it was a whole big deal about the strawberry jam. And so they had to rewrite the scene to appease him. So he was always complaining about different things within the show. He got along very, very well with his cast members, particularly the kids. He's very, very close to the kids who worked on the show. He took them on a trip to New York. He took them on a trip to England. He bought them little mini video cameras where they could, you know, record and document the trips. He considered them to be really his kids, and they felt the same way about him in return. He also had a great friendship with Florence Henderson. They were very good friends. And they, like I said, he was very respectful, like I said, to Abby Davis as well. His problems were with solely Sherwood and Lloyd and with the writing. Primarily Sherwood and Lloyd, those were the ones that he just did not get along with. Now, how do we feel about that? Well, we understand where he was coming from. You know, we understood where he, you know, wanted to do some serious storylines and explore serious material and not always have all the storylines be so comical. We get that. But at the same time, I think that the comical storylines, I mean, it worked. It's still working over 50 years later. I mean, 55 years later, the Brady Bunch is still very beloved. And those episodes, we still enjoy. We still have our favorites and we still remember the, you know, pork chops and applesauce and Johnny Bravo and you know, Sydney being a snoop and a tattletale, not to mention the introduction of Cousin Oliver, which we'll get to in a bit. But, I mean, it worked. And no doubt that's one reason why Sherwood decided that he would stick with the formula that they had going. Was he felt that, hey, if we get all really serious, we might lose viewers and, you know, they might, you know, pull us off the air. We'll lose, you know, our charm, lose our audience. And he might have been right about that. You know, people, they get kind of funny, viewers do, when you change up a show too much from the way that it originally was in the beginning. People, sometimes viewers get uncomfortable. And yeah, you do take the risk of losing viewers. And so I think that, you know, we've discussed this. We think that both, you know, Bob Reed and Sherwood Schwartz did have some points. It's just too bad that they couldn't really come together and really just talk it all out and sit down and discuss it, you know, rationally. But the Brady Bunch, like I said, some of the things that we found out when we were doing research for the episode, some of the stuff that we found out was pretty interesting. For example, people have criticized Carol Brady for not having a job. You know, Mike was an architect, of course, and, you know, she had Alice and all that. So how come, you know, why Does a woman who doesn't have a job need a housekeeper? Well, you have to remember that, as I said, Alice came over with Mike and the boys. And Alice was going to leave in a first season episode because she felt that she wasn't needed anymore. But remember how everyone wanted her to stay and all the kids were like, they all worked together to, like I say, you know, get her to stay, and she did. Well, that just made sense. Why would you just, like I said, turn Alice out, kick her to the curb because Mike got married? So it made sense to have Alice there. But actually, Florence Henderson, we found out, wanted Carol to have a job. She thought that Carol should have a career. But Sherwood and company decided, well, let's just keep Carol at home and have her just basically be a stay-at-home mom. Focus on the kids and focus on Mike, focus on the house. And speaking of Alice, did you notice that Alice, we never saw Alice eating anything? Alice was always in the kitchen cooking and serving meals and cleaning up. And we never once saw Alice actually sit down and have a meal. We never saw her sit down with the Bradys. We never saw her even sit down in the kitchen or even in her own room and eat anything. Unless I'm forgetting something. But Alice just, she just didn't eat. That's something I guess they never got around to. Didn't realize the fact that, you know, she never ate anything and that no one ever saw her partake of any of the meals that she prepared. Also, found out that the only one of the Brady kids who actually had a kissing scene was Bobby in the last season. When Bobby, you know, thought that he got mumps from Melissa Sue Anderson, who would later be over in Little House on the Prairie. Remember their kissing scene and the fireworks and all that? Yeah, Bobby was the only one of the Brady kids to actually have a kissing scene. For example, Greg had all these girls that he went out with, but you never saw Greg kiss any of them. Also, what happened to Tiger? Well, we looked that up too. Tiger in real life disappeared. He ran away and was unfortunately, allegedly hit by a car. And then they got another Tiger, but I think he ran away as well. I don't think he got hit by a car, but he also ran away, so they just dropped the idea. It was getting too complicated to keep a Tiger around, so that's why all of a sudden Tiger was no more. What happened to Fluffy, the girl's cat, in the first episode? Well, we looked that up as well. Fluffy was only supposed to be there for the pilot. You know, when the pilot turned into a weekly series, they decided to just make the Bradys, you know, a one pet family. They would only have Tiger. They didn't need to have a cat as well. So that's why you didn't see Fluffy beyond the pilot. Also, there was a lot of backstage romance going on that show amongst the kids. I'm sure a lot of you know already about Greg and Marcia. Actually, I should say their real names, Maureen McCormick and Barry Williams, very much involved behind the scenes. Also, doing a lot of, making out, believe it or not, Susan Olsen and Mike Lookinland, the two youngest kids. They were doing a lot of making out and kissing when they were very, very young. And according to Susan Olsen, with time, Mike Lookinland decided to drop her and developed an interest in Eve Plum, who played Jan, once Eve began to fill out a little bit more. He lost interest in Susan, and he got a crush on Eve. Of course, nothing ever came between the two of them, but he was definitely very much hung up on Eve. Of course, Eve and Christopher Knight, they also had a couple of makeout sessions as well. And it's weird to talk about this, because, you know, we see them as brothers and sisters. You know, but we have to remember that these were actors. They weren't really related. They didn't see themselves as being related. They were all, like I said, very close in age. And so, yeah, they were attracted to one another. You know, like I said, we almost didn't even bring this up. We debated about whether it should be brought up in the episode or not. We're not going to go any further with it because it is awkward to talk about. If you want to find out more about what really went on behind the scenes with them in a romantic capacity, definitely check out Barry Williams' book. Because he goes into all of it. He talks about all what went down behind the scenes, definitely between he and Maureen, and also that he gets off into what went down behind, you know, with the other kids as well. Speaking of Barry Williams, he developed a huge crush on his TV mom, Florence Henderson. He even asked, she was married, had a couple, I think she had four kids. But he actually asked her out on a date somewhere between the second and third season. He asked her out. She went out with him, but she didn't let him kiss her goodnight. And he was, you know, kind of crushed by that and crushed by the fact that this wasn't going to go anywhere, that she saw him as a nice young man. But, you know, she was married and he was playing her son on the show and he was, you know, way younger than her. And she didn't exactly share his feelings in regard to the two of them actually, you know, going beyond that one date. But, yeah, like I said, the Brady Bunch, like I said, had a, a pretty good run. Like I said, it ran for 5 seasons. The last episode would air on March the 8th, 1974. It has been said that the reason why they brought Cousin Oliver into the show was to try to up the ratings. Now, people, we did an episode about Cousin Oliver probably about a year ago. About because people they still say, oh, Cousin Oliver's a jinx, he killed the Brady Bunch. And it's just kind of like, no, the Brady Bunch was already struggling in the ratings before Cousin Oliver even showed up on their doorstep, because Sanford and Son and the Brady Bunch were at the same time. Sanford and Son was over on NBC, the Brady Bunch on ABC, and Sanford and Son was really getting the lion's share of the ratings, and that was what really caused the Brady Bunch to go off the air. It had nothing to do with the introduction of Cousin Oliver. Maybe they thought that bringing in another kid into the series, a little bit younger kid, would hopefully boost the ratings, but that did not work. So people and their Cousin Oliver theories, they don't add up. And when I was doing research, I ran across an article about Cousin Oliver or Robbie Rist, who portrayed him. Somebody said, I can't remember the article, somebody said that he also jinxed the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Because remember, he was on that show for a few episodes as Ted Baxter's son. Ted and Georgette adopted, you know, they were having difficulty having kids in the beginning, and then they adopted a child, and of course later on they, you know, did conceive a child. So they had, you know, the adopted son David, and then they had their baby daughter Mary Lou. Well, they actually said in this article that I read that he jinxed the Mary Tyler Moore Show because as soon as he joined the Mary Tyler Moore Show, it went off the air. Well, not quite. Because he showed up in the sixth season, the latter part of the sixth season is when he showed up. But the Mary Tyler Moore Show at the beginning of the seventh season, it was determined by the producers of that show that the seventh season would be the last season. Mary, not very gung-ho with that idea in the beginning, but she reluctantly went along with it. But Robbie Rist, I don't think it's right to blame him for the ending of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. I think that's really stretching it and taking it way, way too far to put all of that on this kid. But if you're putting the Brady Bunch in it, but the Mary Tyler Moore Show too, come on now. But the last episode, of course, of the Brady Bunch is, they didn't know this was the last episode. This was unbeknownst to them. They thought they'd be back for season 6. Greg is about to graduate from high school. Bobby and Oliver, Bobby's still in the hair tonic and Oliver is his assistant. Bobby wants to be this businessman. He's selling this hair tonic. And so he's not doing very well at all. He's not selling any of the stuff. And so Greg, being the really supportive older brother, decides to help him out and buy a bottle. So Bobby washes Greg's hair with the hair tonic and Greg's hair turns orange. Bob Reed was so outraged and incensed by this, he refused to be in the episode. He did not know this was going to be the last episode of the series, but he refused to be in the episode. He actually, I think this guy actually looked it up, I think, in the encyclopedia. Either he did that or he actually called a hair tonic company. He went and did his research. This guy went out there and he did his research on this stuff. He went and he looked it up and he went to Sherwood and he's like, look, there is no way that a hair tonic is going to turn someone's hair orange. That just doesn't happen. You're being unrealistic again. And you need to change this. You need to rewrite this. Of course, you know, Sherwood and Lloyd, you know, said no. And so Bob said, well, I'm not going to be in the episode. You just do what you want to do. I'm not being in it. The thing is that Bob Reed was on set the entire time when they were filming the episode, the last episode. He was there watching with disdain and disgust, to the point where Lloyd was ready to call the cops on him. Yeah, Lloyd Schwartz, Sherwood's son, was also, producing the Brady Bunch. He was ready to call the cops on Robert Reed. But Sherwood Schwartz is like, no, we're not going to do that. These kids really love Bob. We're not going to have them seeing their dad be taken off to jail. We're not going to do that. So there was some real intense drama in that last episode of the Brady Bunch. And of course, unfortunately, it was the last episode. And it's unfortunate that Mike was not there for Greg's graduation, which was very unrealistic. You really think that Mike would have missed his own son's graduation for any reason? But that's how they decided to spin it. That's how they decided to write it, since he refused to be in the episode. And like I said, it's unfortunate because that was the last episode of the series. Matter of fact, Sherwood Schwartz, we read this as well, that if they had been back for season 6, like they thought that they were going to be, they were planning on replacing Robert Reed. Because Sherwood and Lloyd were so sick of dealing with him, arguing with him, fighting with him, his memos and all that. By the way, the memos, Robert Reed gave all of his memos to Barry Williams. And a lot of the memos are in that Brady Bunch book that he wrote. I think it's titled Growing Up Brady. And so a lot of Bob Reed's memos are in that book. So if you want to read these memos for yourself, definitely check out Barry's book. But they were tired of dealing with him and all the arguing and the fighting and all that. And so they said they were going to replace him. Now, honestly, I don't think that would have gone over so well with the Brady kids. Don't think it would have gone over very well with Florence Henderson either. Because like I said, they all had a great relationship. They loved working with him and vice versa. How that would have gone over with the audience, probably not too well, because people were still upset about Bewitched and the switch of Darren on that show. You know, to this day, once again, 55 years later, when they switched Darren's, people to this day are still unhappy about the change. So I don't think that would have been a very good idea. I think that would have been a very poor decision. But fortunately, that didn't get to happen because the show came to an end when NBC decided to go ahead and cancel it. Of course, like I said, there have been so many, like I say, reunions and get-togethers and specials on camera and all that. It's been great. Every time you get to see the Bradys back together for any reason, it's always a real treat. And something else I was going to mention, I can't remember what it was. Like I said, it's always been a lot of fun to see them get back together for any reason, no matter what it was, whether it was the variety show, a very Brady Christmas, the Brady girls getting married, whatever it was always fun to see them all back together. Now, sadly, Robert Reed, Florence Henderson, and Ambie Davis have all passed away. The Brady kids, of course, still very much in each other's lives. They still see one another. They're often seen together. Word has it that they have a group text. They all got back together recently to, renovate the old Brady house, on cable. I can't remember the network that they did that on, but that was a really, really big deal a few years ago. And like I said, they definitely, like I said, are still very, very beloved to us after all of these many years. I know at one point though, Eve and Maureen were not speaking. As you know, Maureen wrote an autobiography, very, very candid, very, very detailed. She doesn't hold anything back. And she mentioned some things in the book about Eve. I'm not going to go into what they were, but Eve was not pleased with the comments that she made in the book. So they were not speaking. They actually had a falling out. They were going to do a reunion on the Today Show of the Brady Bunch, but they had to scrap it because Maureen and Eve refused to show up. Fortunately, they did reconcile after the passing of Florence Henderson, which they were both very affected by. Naturally, this was their TV mom, of course, and they were very affected by her passing back in 2016. And they really leaned on one another and really, really came together to cope with her passing. And that was when they buried the hatchet and they reconciled. which is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news, wonderful to hear about. The Brady Bunch was also honored by the TV Land Awards back in 2007, I believe it was. They received the, Cultural Impact Award, I believe it was. And they were all back together. The only one who was not there was Eve Plum. I'm not sure why she wasn't there. Some people have really given her kind of a hard time. You know, she's missed a few Brady reunions. She was in the variety show, and she kind of was kind of just kind of trying to distance herself from the Bradys and Jan Brady. At one point, she even dyed her hair brown. She was on, I think it was the Jenny Jones talk show, and she was being pretty snippy about the Brady Bunch and all that. But, well, I guess, you know, honestly, we don't know what it's like if that's, you know, to be an actress and you're only being seen as one role, one character. You know, your whole life is being defined by just one part of the journey, one season in your life, and that's all everyone sees you as. No one can see you beyond Jan Brady. You know, that's all people call you. People call you Jan Brady, and people, they can't even, they don't even know your real name, or if they do know your real name, they don't call you that. You're always something but Jan. And I guess that can be kind of frustrating, you know, if you think about it. You know, I guess people think about, you know, the fame and the money and all the other accolades that go with being in a successful TV series and it having, you know, been around for years and years. And yeah, there are definitely perks to it, no doubt. But there's also that kind of downside to it as well. You don't have a lot of privacy. You don't have a lot of anonymity. And like I said, you're only seen as being one character. No one can see you beyond this one TV show that you were a part of, this one character that you portrayed. And I guess, like I said, it could get a little bit tiring. But, you know, she was back, like I said, for all the other reunion stuff that they've done. She, like I said, has, I think, like I said, that she does get kind of a bad rap. I think that that's kind of unfair. Maybe she did need some time, you know, to deal with the Jan Brady part of her life and that part of, you know, her identity, if you will. But, yeah, like I said, fortunately, like I said, everyone, like I said, they still, like I said, see each other. And like I said, they're very, very embracing of their Brady history. There's a Brady Bunch podcast that Barry Williams and Christopher Knight do. All of the other Brady kids have been on it. Maureen has not as of yet, but hopefully that'll change. Not sure the name of the podcast. I haven't listened to it, but I think they like just talk about all things Brady Bunch related, which is, I'm sure, is pretty cool. But I don't think the Brady Bunch is going anywhere anytime soon because they are just as popular as they have ever been here in the 21st century in 2024. And I'm sure with the Brady Bunch turning 55 years old this fall, there's going to be some kind of big celebrations somewhere, some way to remember the introduction of the Brady Bunch to the television landscape and to the world of pop culture. But we felt that it was time to do an episode about the Brady Bunch because, like I said, that's a TV show that we both have loved watching through the years, both grew up with, both very fond of. And, you know, I remember when we both wanted the Marsha Brady hair, and my sister used to wear like a really long t-shirt on the I used to wear a towel on the back of on my head and throw my hair around like Marsha. But here's the funny thing in regard to me. Now, my sister has grown her hair out really long, and she keeps it tied up a lot. She'll wear it down on special occasions, but she doesn't do the Marsha Brady thing now that she's got really long hair that she's grown out, which is so funny. We both want this Marsha Brady hair, but we you know, when we had it, we don't really wear it. As for me, well, I've grown my hair out really long like Marsha Brady a couple of times, and not only did I cut it, but I, too, would keep it tied up all the time. I'd wear ponytails and braids and buns, all kinds of stuff. I just would really wear it down. So it's funny. We both got this Marsha Brady hair later on down the road, but we never wore it. So it's just really kind of funny how things go sometimes. But, yes, this episode was one that we had looked forward to doing. We look forward to doing all of our episodes, actually. But this, like I said, was really special because, like I said, the Brady Bunch, like I said, a big part of TV history, a big part of, it goes across generational lines. Definitely very, very big in Gen X. Because, I mean, that was on after school every day. It was on during the summer. And, you know, I remember one day, and I'll wrap up the episode with this little story. I was 10. My mom and I, we were downtown, and this was during the summer, and the Brady Bunch was coming on, came on every day at 5 o'clock, and they were going to be showing the episode when they were all singing It's Time to Change. Now, I'm not going to try to sing it, definitely not. I'm not going to even try to sing that, but, I did mention it to her, but I really, really, really wanted to get back home in time to see the Brady Bunch. I'd seen the episode, of course, but it was my favorite episode, and I wanted to hear them sing again, It's Time to Change. This, of course, is an episode from the third season, and I was like, oh, the Brady Bunch is on. I kept saying to myself, I didn't tell her anything about it, but I kept saying, the Brady Bunch is on at 5. The Brady Bunch is on at 5. The Brady Bunch is on at 5. I kept saying that. And fortunately for me, we got back about 5:10, meaning I got back in time to hear them sing, It's Time to Change. And I was beyond thrilled. But yeah, the Brady Bunch, like I said, again, available on DVD, Blu-ray. It comes on MeTV. It's streaming on Paramount Plus, because I have the Brady Bunch as one of my favorite TV shows. I have my TV shows listed on the app, and the Brady Bunch is one of the ones that I have selected as one of my favorites. And of course, you can go to YouTube and you can see, you know, all kinds of stuff over there, like the variety show, the Brady Bunch movies. Those are on YouTube. I had these really cool Brady Bunch paper dolls when I was a kid. My mom bought those for me when I was like 4 years old. I still have them, believe it or not. 49 years later, I still have those paper dolls. I only had one complaint. They did not have paper dolls of Peter or Bobby or Alice. And I didn't understand that then as a four-year-old. I'm like, well, where's everybody else? I love paper dolls, like I said, that they did have. But I thought that it was incomplete. My mom was like, well, where's everybody else? I don't know why they did not, finish it up. But yes, I still have those paper dolls 49 years later. But the Brady Bunch, like I said, still a lot of fun to watch. And like I said, I don't see its popularity waning anytime soon. And thank you for joining us for today's episode of Two Sisters and a TV as we took a look back at the Brady Bunch. We'll have another episode, if not later this week, certainly next week. Don't forget to hit that follow button so you won't miss out on any of our episodes as we bring them to you. Thank you for your time and your support of this podcast, and we will see you all on the next episode.